This Thanksgiving weekend, we continue our preview of high school basketball, now 2 weeks in to this 2020-21 season. We'll talk Clay County girls basketball this hour. Also, the York Institute boys will preview what's going on with the Upperman Bees in this new season. All that and plenty more straight ahead. But let's get started in Byrdstown, where the Pickett County Bobcats finished just one game shy of the sub-state round last season. They graduated just two seniors. Head coach Joseph Aminette excited for what lies ahead.
It's fantastic. It's it's a little different than it's been previously before, but I'm excited for the kids. That's who I'm excited for. They put in a lot of time. They've dealt with a lot in the past 8 months, and our school system and the TWSWA finding a way for our kids to get an opportunity to compete is something that's pretty special, and we're really enjoying it.
When you look at last season and how this relatively young team performed in a very tough district, how much did it excite you for what the future, like this year and next year, could hold?
I think we finished really strong last year, had a good season, a really good season with for the most part a really young team, and we ended the season pretty excited about the opportunities that laid in front of us for the next year or two. And we just continue to be. We think we've got an opportunity to be a really good team if we continue to improve and work on the little things that we need to get better at.
How much of a challenge when you look around the district, how much of the challenge is just the coaches that you face on a nightly basis? Because it seems like there are many fantastic coaches just throughout the league.
Oh, it's fantastic. The coaching in our district, especially with it being a single A district, is really exceptional. They all are top notch. They all prepare really well. They put a lot of time into it. And, it's a group of coaches that like to get kids to compete at a real high level and put a lot of time and a lot of preparation into having good programs.
You get the luxury of bringing back your main group of guys and Zach, Will, John Parker Reagan, Slade. Not many teams get to bring back a full nucleus like you guys do.
No, it's been fortunate for us in a small school like we are. When you've got, when you're in the smallest county in the state of Tennessee and you got 190 kids in the only high school in the county, you're going to have ebbs and flows of numbers of kids in classes. And, we got into that when they were freshmen and sophomores, and we were really, really young, played a lot of 14 and 15-year-olds. Mm-hmm. And it looks a little different now that you're coaching 16, 17, and 18-year-olds. And it's just – that's what happens at a small school. So we're kind of on that uptrend right now because this is kind of the group that we've got currently.
Looking at your players individually, one that has always stuck out to me was John Parker Reagan. And he's one of those guys that the stat book doesn't really tell the full story. It's not always going to look gaudy, but he's a guy that can make a positive impact on the floor, and he doesn't need to score 20 points a night to do that.
That's right. John Parker Reagan is just one of those kids that that a coach loves to have. And for every team to be successful, you've got to have a John Parker Reagan, and he's just a kid that he just wants to win. He'll go out one night and he'll get you 25 points if he needs to. The next night, if he needs to get you 10 rebounds, that's what he's going to do. Just like to start the season, we're playing DeKalb County, and they had a 6'4", 6'5", 250-pound center that's going to Tennessee Tech to play football, and JP's just in there battling him at 6'1". And John Parker's just a guy that is, like I said, he's a coach's dream, and he just does whatever it takes for his team to win. And he is completely unselfish. And this is, he's a senior. And what's unusual about him is he's played – each year I've asked him to play a different position. As a freshman, he played point guard. As a sophomore, he played a little bit of a small forward. Last year we played him at center. And this year we've got him playing the trail position. So JP's kind of a jack of all trades for us, and he's just got whatever I ask him to do is what he's going to do.
Another guy that I really think everyone outside of Byrdstown underrated was Slade Copeland. And one thing that stuck out to me was no matter who his matchup was on any given night, he always guarded them tough at one end, and he found a way to get to the basket against them on offense.
And Daniel Slade is a really, really improved kid. And I'm so excited for the year that he had last year. And I'm really excited about this year for him because he is, Slade's got a great attitude. He's really vocal. He always is talking, always working to get his teammates to have energy. And he's a kid, you know, that stuck with basketball. Slade wasn't, you know, Slade's best basketball. You know, he's a kid that didn't start in sixth grade, didn't start on the eighth grade team, but always played some, and he just worked. He got himself into a position when he became an upperclassman that he got to have an opportunity to start as a junior, and he capitalized on it. And I think you're going to see Slade's best basketball his senior year.
Again, that's Pickett County head coach Joseph Amonette. And here's where I'm going to make that little edit, and this is where I'm going to pause, and then I'll continue. Over the course of the offseason, Coach, what do you think the two of those players have improved the most about their individual games when you look at JP and Slade?
You know, I think the thing that I would say that both of them, you know, they both really worked on their shooting and just understanding the game a little bit for Slade as much as anything because, you know, he kind of got thrust into playing. You go from not playing any much as a sophomore to playing 20-plus minutes a game as a starter as a junior. I just think that, you know, the game, he's just growing into the game. His body's changed. With JP, I think it's just I think with John Parker, what you're going to see, John Parker just plays with a lot more confidence offensively. He just, you know, when he catches it, there's no hesitation. He knows he's a good three-point shooter. He knows he can score. And both those guys, as much as anything, I think it's just being 18 years old, being strong, being confident, and know that they've got an opportunity to be really good players. And I think when kids see that and that they get that confidence, I think they just grow as players and improve in every category.
You also add Hunter and Heath Wattenbarger to the team, and I know with their added height and athleticism, it can only mean good things for this program, right?
You know, absolutely. You know, two fantastic young men. They fit in fantastic with the team. You know, they are yes sir, no sir. They're going to do whatever's asked of them. They just want to be a part of something special. They want to be part of something bigger than themselves. And, you know, they're a joy to coach. And they've been really productive early on in these first two games. They've really helped our team.
And, of course, we can't talk about this team without mentioning Zach and Will. And I know you've probably got some really high expectations for them this year, for their junior year.
You know, absolutely. You know, Zach and Will, you know, it's a special situation and a unique situation and a difficult situation all at the same time when you're coaching one son. But when you're coaching two, it just adds a little different layer to it. But, you know, Zach and Will work hard. I don't think that, I don't think anybody is going to outwork them. I think they're going to put in the time and they just want to be a part of something special. They just want to win. They want to win championships. They want to be good teammates. And they just want to, you know, they just want to help get Pickett County basketball back to the top of the district and competing for state tournaments like we have in the past.
Coach, I know that coaches hate talking about what I'm about to ask you, but I'm going to ask it anyways. When you look at this team on paper, and I've looked at the roster so many times, I really do see a team here that can win a state title. But I know as a coach, it's one game at a time. What's the key to making this a successful season?
You know, I think there's, you know, this is a really unusual season. You know, it's been hard and no harder for me than it is anyone else, but we had no summer camp. Okay. Mm. So we don't get any games in. We're not allowed to scrimmage. So you get basically in basketball, you know, it's different than other sports. In basketball, you get to practice for 2 weeks and then you start playing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that puts you behind the eight ball as far as team chemistry, understanding what kids' roles are, and for the kids to understand who they are as players. So we're going to be into the season. So my guess is we're going to see some ugly basketball till January. And then the other aspect of what you're trying to guard against is distractions in a normal year. You know, you want teams to have tunnel vision. You don't want outside influences getting in within your team and getting distracted. And then right now, we're dealing with distractions every day. Are we sitting by the wrong person in class where we could get quarantined? Is the other team going to call an hour before the game and not be able to play? There's so many distractions dealing with this pandemic right now that you just really don't know what you're going to get into. And I think that's the thing that's going to make this season the hardest is, you know, the teams that can stick together, can find ways to not get distracted with everything that's going on in a 16, 17-year-old, 18-year-old's life.
In a year where it seemed unlikely that we would even play high school football at one point, we have made it to state championship weekend. In Cookeville, next weekend, champions will be crowned. The high school playbook continues. Let's check last night's scoreboard. 1A football first. South Pittsburgh, the team that defeated Monterey and ended their season, they're headed for a state championship matchup as South Pittsburgh defeats Coalfield 42-0. Fayetteville wins over Lake County 38-24. 2A football, maybe the best game of Friday night. Meigs County gets past Trousdale County 16-13. Peabody wins over Waverly, final there 42-7. In 3A football, Alcoa is headed for the state championship game. They defeat Red Bank 42-7. Milan wins over Pearl Cone 27-13. 4A football, Elizabethton will make the trip from I-81 down to I-40. They win over Nolensville 56-21. Haywood County defeats Lexington 17-14. The 5A classification, Oak Ridge set to play for a state title. They shut out South Doyle 14-0. Oak Ridge will meet Summit High School, a winner over Henry County 35-21. And in 6A football, Oakland gets the win over Maryville 49-7. Oakland will take on Brentwood. It's Franklin against Murphy. Murfreesboro next week. Brentwood defeats Bartlett 24-14. So the schedule looks like this. On Thursday, the Division II championship starting at 11 o'clock. Lipscomb Academy takes on CPA, then USJ against Davidson Academy, followed by the 3A championship, McCauley and MUS. On Friday, the 3A championship at 11 o'clock, Alcoa plays Milan. Then the 1A title game, South Pittsburgh and Fayetteville. Oak Ridge and Summit will play the 5A title game Friday night at 7 o'clock. And then Saturday, the 4A championship at 11, Elizabethton takes on Haywood, followed by the 2A championship, Meigs County and Peabody, and at night, the 6A title game, Oakland and Brentwood. The Lady Bulldogs of Clay County had a sudden end to their year last season when they fell to Trousdale County in the district tournament. What comes next for Clay County? Let's explore it on the High School Playbook from Rock 93.7. Coach Matthew Walker and company back to practice, back to game action to see where exactly this Bulldogs team stands.
We had a lot of experience coming back this year, so they're all a whole lot more confident than they was this time last year.
I think there's generally a kind of a misunderstanding about how different conditioning is from normal practice. Can you put that into words, kind of how those two are really nothing alike, even though I think sometimes people think, oh, well, if you're conditioning and running, that might as well be the same as practice. But I know it's not that at all, right?
No, to me, the mental side of conditioning is a whole lot more important than just the running up and down. You know, you can play 5-on-5 pickup. But the mental side of it is the pushing myself to its limits and, you know, being willing to not quit when times get tough and, you know, beating certain running time goals, and you're competing against the clock, or you're competing against each other. So it's definitely different.
You mentioned, Coach, that you're in a really, really, really good position because while a lot of teams have to replace a lot of talent from last year, you get to bring back almost all of your major contributors from a season ago. How much easier does that make kind of the prep for the upcoming season, knowing you'll have a lot of familiar faces?
Having that experience is definitely huge. You know, anytime you're playing older girls, it definitely makes a big difference as well. You know, having some juniors and seniors that have got some playing time now is going to help. Plus, their leadership being a year older is definitely noticeable this year that they're taking more of an ownership and a leadership role.
When you compare it to how you prepared last season, how big of a difference is it?
Well, of course, we had a summer last year. We had a summer, and then we had some scrimmages. Mm-hmm. So this year with the quarantine and the corona stuff, you know, we don't have that summer ball. We don't have preseason ball. But I feel like we're in a pretty good position where we do have so many players returning that they know the system pretty well and they know each other's strengths and weaknesses pretty well. So I'm hoping that helps us carry through the first couple weeks till we can get some more real practices under our belt.
Looking back at when everyone was kind of locked down back in April, did you ever think we'd get to this point with just the way 2020 has been?
I wasn't sure. I always thought it really depended on football. You know, if football had a successful season and was able to go uninterrupted, I thought we'd have a good chance. But I knew, you know, from the get-go that if football was doomed, that nobody would probably play.
Now, looking back at last year, there's a lot of performances that stick out on your schedule last year and moments that I feel like should build a lot of confidence for your players. I think the ones early on that stuck out to me were how close you guys played teams like Clark Range and Macon County early in the season. And then later in the year, you played Clark Range again, and you locked them down in the fourth quarter to win a close game. How much do performances like that help a young team build confidence?
Well, we've always had the potential to play with and beat anybody. I think growing from that young team last year to a more experienced team this year, we're just searching for that consistency level to be able to win games when nicer shots are not falling and maybe that we get behind early versus take a lead early. So we're trying to build that consistency this year and hope that that comes with age.
Staying on that Clark Grange game, that second one, I feel like that's a game that a lot of people in the Upper Cumberland should look at as this is why you prioritize defense, because you don't see many games in the modern day way of playing basketball where there's 77 total points scored in a game. And I feel like is that kind of a sign that defense can sometimes be swept under the rug and maybe not prioritized like offense is?
Well, especially from the Clark Range standpoint, because, you know, they typically average, you know, up in the 70s. You've got so many good teams around here, Clark Range, Pickett, Macon County on our schedule. All the teams in the Upper Cumberland are so talented that it's hard for me as a coach to tell our girls go out there and just flat out outscore them. You've kind of got to hang your hat on something. And for us, the past few years, that's been our defense and our grittiness.
Is emphasizing that defense, does it help to also kind of say that, hey, if we're able to force turnovers, if we force bad shots from the other team, we're able to then kind of get out, run a little bit, and get some momentum going on offense?
Yeah, I think so. And good defensive performances really inspire us. We've got several girls now that want to take on the leadership role of defense. They want to guard the other team's best players. They're not scared of a challenge, and I feel like that's a part that's kind of come with age as well, that they've been in those big games and they've played against really good players, whether through AAU or whether through the battles in this district. I feel like we're more prepared this year.
Looking at this year's team now, it all starts on offense with Rachel Copas. And last year when I asked you about her, it was as simple as she's the point guard and she makes us go. What's her biggest attribute or her biggest strength? Is it her ability to lead the team when things are chaotic? Is it how she sees the floor? What do you see as her biggest strength?
I think she sees the floor better than any kid I've ever coached, and probably better than any kid in the Upper Cumberland, and I'd put her up against anybody statewide. She sees the floor so well, more so than stuff I don't even see as a coach. You know, she sees it and just makes it happen.
Then from there, you've got your other senior on the wing in Katie Arms, and people have asked me about players they should watch in the Upper Cumberland and who I think they should keep an eye on. I frequently mention Katie just because of her high motor and her scoring ability. How big of a year do you think she's primed to have?
I was really pleased with her breakout year last year. I knew she had the potential to be a really good player, but last year kind of snuck up on me as well in terms of her breakout year. This year, just watching her in the open gyms and watching her in some shooting sessions, she's added even more to her game. She's a hard worker, so you know she's going to improve every year. But I definitely think she's going to stand out this year.
Do you think there's less pressure on her now also that she's, you know, committed to Freed Hardeman and there's no longer any worry about playing for a scholarship, that the future is kind of taking care of itself and she can focus on now?
Whether it's less pressure or whether it's just a boosted confidence, I definitely see an improvement since she has signed and got that out of the way. I'm not sure if she's just playing free or more confident or what it is, but there's definitely a noticeable difference.
And one player that I think, in my opinion, typifies what this team is about more than any other is Eliza Jenkins. She's tough-nosed, she's competitive, loves playing lockdown defense on the other team's best player, and even if they score, she's making them earn it. Does having an upperclassman like her, having a junior like her now, does that help drive home the point of having defense as the primary focus?
Definitely. All of our upperclassmen have to be committed to defense, and that's something they go through starting as freshmen. It's drilled into them starting as freshmen, and by the time they're juniors and seniors, they've really bought into it.
And finally, we can't talk about this team and talk about individual players without mentioning sophomore Briley Burchett, because there were games last year where she single-handedly dominated on offense. She took matters into her own hands, and she made things happen when they needed to. You did mention to me last year you wanted to see her maybe take a few more threes. Have you seen that improvement kind of in open gyms? Have you seen her kind of add that to her game?
Oh, yeah. Probably had that skill set last year, and I don't know if it's just where she was a freshman or what, but she's definitely feel more comfortable out of the perimeter this year. She's handling the ball a little bit more. She's making better decisions. I think her game is going to continue to grow and evolve over the next couple of years.
She was already tough enough to stop. You know, there were post players that struggled stopping her period because she's able to handle the ball. She can take people off the dribble. If she adds a consistent three-point shot that she's taking with confidence, I have to ask, is it even possible to stop her at that point?
She's scary good. Of course, as a coach, I got to figure out ways to use that and put her in mismatch situations, but she's definitely a tough matchup for anybody.
Are there any players that you're looking at off the bench as players that you think will really play big roles this year that maybe last year they maybe went unnoticed?
We just got a good cast of girls. We got a good freshman class coming in this year. Our sophomores that played a little bit as freshmen last year, they're going to be better this year as well. So in addition to those juniors and seniors we got some really good freshmen and sophomores behind them pushing for playing time.
Clay County girls head coach Matthew Walker. Down the road to Smithville, where the DeKalb County Tiger boys won 7 games last season. But one of the most memorable games of the Upper Cumberland, they upset Macon County in the district tournament. Several key players are back for DeKalb County this year, including Jordan Young, Luke Jenkins. But head coach John Saunders says he's cautiously optimistic about what this team can accomplish.
You know, if you don't really appreciate getting to play now, I don't know what nothing will make you more appreciate now, especially just because, you know, it was taken away. And you know, our guys, you know, we didn't experience, you know, they got to play basically a whole season, you know, and got eliminated in the postseason. We didn't experience what some of those teams win. It's not getting to play in the state tournament or, you know, like baseball, softball, boys soccer, you know, not getting to participate at all, really.
Mm-hmm. When you look at how you've had to prepare for this upcoming season, what have been some of the biggest challenges you've faced?
Just, you know, making sure we're taking, you know, back before we got into school, we were having workouts and stuff in the summer. You know, you'd have to make sure you took temperatures. Our kids entered the building, clean everything daily, and, you know, you still have to do all that. We lost quite a bit of money as far as fundraisers go because, you know, we weren't able to have any camps this summer.
Mm-hmm.
So that hurt a little bit as far as the budget goes. And then with a sort of a young team coming back, it hurt us a little bit, not our guys not getting a chance to play some this year. But you take it in stride, do the best you can. So.
I noticed you didn't really mention scheduling and all of that. I know that's kind of been hit or miss across the board. Some schools have had it easier when it's come to scheduling, and some schools have had trouble just filling out some of the games on the schedule because other teams or other schools are just being so overly cautious. What's been your experience with that?
Well, we were fortunate. We had our schedule pretty much done, I think. We might have lacked 2 games whenever we were dismissed from school because of COVID. So we pretty much had our schedule done, so I didn't have any issues scheduling.
You got off really lucky there then.
Yeah, we did.
Let's look back at last season, Coach. You guys won, obviously, a very well-played game over Macon County to advance in the district tournament, and you fell just short of getting to the region tournament against Cannon. What about those last 2 games really impressed you?
Well, I just thought we played more together as a team on both sides of the ball the last 2 games. Defensively, we were a lot better than we had been mostly throughout the year. And I thought our guys shared the basketball on offense, you know, worked together as a team pretty well. We just didn't shoot the ball very well against Cannon County that night.
Mm-hmm.
So we did everything we wanted to. You know, I remember that game really well. It was a low-scoring game. We were able to really, I felt like, control the pace and all that, but we just didn't shoot the ball very well. So.
Was that stretch of games, was that kind of one of those moments where you looked at some of the younger players you're playing and you really, like, got excited about what they could be a year or 2 years from now?
Oh, yeah, because, you know, we're doing We're trying to do a lot of the similar things we were doing last year on the defensive side of the ball. Offensively, I think we're going to change a little bit because we're not as big. So we're going to probably try to spread teams out a little more. But, yeah, I'm really excited about this group. You know, those guys that were playing last year that are back this year, they've worked extremely hard this summer when we were here and then this offseason. So I'm really proud of them so far. I'm anxious to see what they can do.
One guy that really showed a lot to me in those couple of games, and I really thought that he could be a significant piece this year for you, was Jacob Young. How high hopes do you have for him this year?
Oh, yeah. I think you mean Jordan Young.
Jordan Young, yeah, my bad.
No, you're good. Jordan got a lot of playing time last year, got a lot better as the year went on. And he's been doing a really good job so far this offseason, trying to be a leader, learning to slow the game down a little bit and let's play under control. He's in that point guard / shooting guard spot. So he's one of the ones that we look to handle the ball, take care of the ball. And, he's growing in that role. His shots come along. He's shooting the ball pretty good, but not where he wants to be, obviously. But, he's definitely a bright spot for sure.
I think another bright spot was Elijah Ramos. He had a really good year last year. I believe he was the freshman of the district, I believe. And it feels like his confidence just grew as the year kept going. What are you hoping to see out of him this year?
Yeah, he got a lot better as the year went on last year. Early on, he had a lot of nerves just being a freshman playing and just having to get used to the pace of play. But he did. He got a lot better. He was freshman of the year last year in our district. And I think we're going to lean on him a lot to be able to handle the ball, take care of it, be a playmaker, whether it's scoring or putting other people in position to score. But he's worked extremely hard. He goes to a lot of training sessions outside of school with, individual trainers. He loves basketball, so he tries to work on it as much as he can. He puts in a lot of time and effort. And I think it'll pay dividends for him this year and for us as well.
When you have younger teams like this, does seeing that extra effort, that doing stuff away from the practice court, is that the sign of a good player, and is that what you really look for versus the immediate results?
Yeah, well, I think, it just shows that he's dedicated. He's willing to put in the time and the effort that it takes to get better, to grow. And, it's obviously a financial commitment. It's not something that his parents or somebody's pushing him to do. It's something he's wanting to do. And so anytime, players are willing to work on their game outside of practice, you love to see that.
I know leadership is important on younger teams. Who are some guys that you're looking at that are returning from last year that you think these have got to be the guys that have got to speak up in the locker room? These have got to be the guys that are the voices on the court?
Yeah, so, Luke Jenkins – and, he's a senior this year, and Braden Antoniak are probably our two most vocal leaders and really probably the two guys that lead by example the most as well. We tell our guys a lot that you can't just be, barking out orders. You got to lead by example. You got to be willing to, if you're going to ask a guy to block out or take a charge and dive on the floor after a loose ball, you got to be willing to do it yourself. And, they do that, both of those guys. They play extremely hard. I really feel like it's giving our defense a different look. Offensively, they both know their roles. They don't shoot the ball too much. They take open shots when they have them, but they don't kill the flow of our offense. They move it, they screen, they cut. They sort of do a little bit of everything for us.
Looking for improvement. That's the story of Jackson County girls basketball as the Blue Devils get this season started. The high school playbook rolls on as we preview the high school basketball season, now 2 weeks old. It was a developmental year in 2019 for head coach Jim Brown and his Jackson County Blue Devils. Now, how will that pay off in the new basketball season?
Well, I mean, just like you said, we're extremely young. We're playing several freshmen, and we got better. We were better than the year we were previously, but still just. You know, like all young teams, we didn't do it on a consistent basis, not in, not out, or even, you know, every minute during a game.
With younger players, how important is it to emphasize kind of that long-term mindset? Because obviously no one likes to lose, but experience is always part of the developmental journey.
Well, I agree. And, that's what I tell them, as long as we see each day of practice and with every game. And,
When you look at preparing for this season, I know it's obviously been underhand. What were some of the challenges that you faced, obviously, with the new COVID restrictions and stuff like that?
Well, I mean, it was extremely challenging. Initially, the social distancing. I mean, essentially, all you could do was, kids in the gym at about homes. And, as the season got closer, then, eventually we had to start. But everybody is behind where they'd like to be. But with these sophomores I got, it would definitely be much better. We had a summer and scrimmages, that kind of thing, to give them a little experience prior to just going in.
Does this year kind of serve to show that AAU ball and just summer ball, it serves more importance than people?
A personal preference or choice. Some kids need the game experience from doing that kind of thing. And then, but at the same time, too, at some point in time, you've actually got to work on your skills. And you don't do that by just playing games. So, I think it takes a little bit of both of, doing the travel ball and, or getting in the summer camps with your high school team. But then also, working on your own and developing your game.
You bring a lot of your players back, and you've got a pretty stable core of seniors this year. It looks like it's going to be another young team, though. What are some of your expectations for this team this season?
I just think we need to compete, and we've been able to get a good schedule for this team. That we've got much better schedule in games that we can play in, and hopefully they can learn to compete, and then eventually. Get over the hump and learn how to win.
Your five seniors that I mentioned bringing back, what do you think each of them, when you look at each senior individually, whether it's Erica Davidson, Nikki Ragland, Lily Chaffin, or the Harris sisters, what do you think they each provide for this team?
They've all got their unique role that they do. I mean, Erica's, our best slasher, penetrator. She's a good on-ball defender, pretty decent little ball handler for us. Nikki Ragland's probably our best defender on the ball, and she plays extremely hard and a good player. Lily Chaffin's a very good rebounder. She's a little bit has a lack of size, I guess, for where we have to play her. But now she does battle and makes a lot of positive plays for us. Rachel Harris is a very good 3-point shooter and, can step out there and shoot as well as anybody that we've got. And then, she got down on the low post. She's just struggled with ACL injury and just never has, I don't think, fully recovered for it. But, it's a good group of kids, and that's always enjoyable to coach when you've got good, respectable kids.
How important is leadership on a team like this where there's a lot of younger players looking for that guidance?
It's extremely important. A lot of coaches, I don't think, realize how important it is until you don't have it. And, we had a really good stretch of, kind of handing that baton to each other. We had a few classes, we didn't have anybody, any players in that class. And then the ones that were there were pretty inexperienced, and it's just hard for the coach to give them everything. You need those older players to give them some guidance.
What are some of the goals you've set up for these girls this year in terms of what you want them to accomplish? I know young teams, that's sometimes the key that coaches have told me, is that you've got to lay out clear goals. You've got to have, you know, a clear plan to accomplish. What is that for this team this year?
Well, I mean, it's when we get to the point where, you know, for 32 minutes, regardless of what the score is, and you know, if you get in a situation where you get down 10 early, that you don't just quit and say, well, here we go again. And, you know, that you continue to battle and stay in the game and, you know, force the other team to continue to play well and you know, in order for them to beat you.
When you look around at the district, and this is one of the best districts in my opinion, and you see teams like Clark Range and Pickett County and Clay County, what does it take, and I know it doesn't happen overnight, but what does it take to get to the top of this league and beat teams like that that are talented?
Yeah, like I said, those teams are all very talented. They play hard. They're all good defensively. They're pretty athletic. And, you know, they've got multiple kids that can score. But I really think those three teams are head and shoulders above, you know, everybody else in the district right now. And I think the rest of us will just be battling trying to get that fourth spot.
Is there a hope also kind of looking at, you know, I know a lot of, I don't think people take for granted sports anymore, at least athletes don't, after what this year's been through. When you look at basketball was cut short due to COVID, all of spring sports were canceled due to COVID. Is there a hope appreciation from your team of getting to do what they do and come out and play a game that they enjoy?
Well, I hope everybody in every facet of life is going to have a greater appreciation. You know, so many things that we've taken for granted and now that you can't do. And, so, you know, I know I definitely feel that way about it. So hopefully everyone else will.
What would make this a successful season for you guys?
You know, we won four games last year, so obviously beat that total. You know, I'd like for us to get to about 500, and then you know, I'd put ourselves in the 4 or 5 seed, and you know, play at least playing in that game to give yourself a chance to advance to the region tournament. So that, I mean, if we get to the region, that would be a heck of an accomplishment for this team.
Jackson County coach Jim Brown. Headed to Jamestown as the high school playbook rolls on, time to talk some York Institute boys basketball. The Dragons made it to the state tournament last season before everything was shut down because of COVID-19. Now they have a new head coach in Roy Whited.
Being from Jamestown, being an alumnus of York Institute, and I really wanted to coach high school again, it was a perfect fit. And so that's how the hiring process went. Unfortunately, with all the things that's going on with COVID and such, the official hiring wasn't done until the first week in August. And so it put us behind having tryouts, trying to get our teams focused, figure out our players, our rotation, and such things as that.
So with all that being said, how excited have you been to actually get back on the court with the guys and play the game of basketball?
Well, I've been very excited. Got a great group of young men. They work extremely hard. We are very young, and so it is fun. It is fun again. And I promised myself this time that I was going to enjoy it more and not put as much pressure on myself as I did before high school.
When it comes to how practices have run or how things have operated with the team, have you changed anything? Have you changed anything to kind of focus more on what you want to look at? Or has it been similar to how you think the previous coach ran things?
Yeah, I think we have made changes. We spend a great deal of time, at least half the practice time, on fundamentals solely. We just feel like that we're not solid fundamentally, and we have lots of young players. Having 8 freshmen, it is, I think, extremely important that we improve fundamentally. We're still behind, but I think we are better at that.
One thing that seems more apparent to team play so far this year is there's more guys getting involved, it feels like. It feels like while the team last year was obviously really good, they made it, I think their biggest issue was a lack of depth. They got seven deep most of the time. Yes. Do you like what you've got this year in terms of depth, and you're able to kind of build those younger players up for next year and the year after that?
That is our goal is. And those younger players are, you know, first in the rotation if they are not starting. And so they're key. You know, they are contributing. I'm very happy with the way that our freshmen have performed thus far. And sure, they have done well. Now, are they as good as we want them to be? Absolutely not. And they will not be, but they have played for us. And so we have had opportunities. You know, we feel like that we have let two games slip away, having late leads late in the game, and so it's that's disappointing.
Is it important with younger players to emphasize that long-term mentality that, hey, you're going to make mistakes, you're not going to be perfect, but the experience along the way is just as important, regardless of whether it's a
that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and we do emphasize that. You know, with experience comes ability, and you know, we have a lot of inexperienced players that have not been used to the speed of the game. And transition from middle school to school basketball is a leap, and especially in the speed. So we have emphasized that greatly, that we have gotten better. It feels like each and every game we played a little better. Now, we going down the stretch late in the games, we have not played well in being able to hold on to leads and solid, again, fundamentally, basketball and not turn it over. We have not executed that very well at all. But something that comes with experience and going through that, and right now many of our players have not.
One player that flew way under the radar last year in the entire Upper Cumberland was John Headings. When I watched, it feels very much like I'm just watching an old school post play completely on a high motor, and he seems like he has a nose for the ball. He knows exactly where it's going to come off the rim, exactly where it's going to be. If there's a 50-50 ball on it, what do you like most about what he provides for this team?
Well, he, like you said, he goes 100%, 100% of the time. He never slows down. He's great on the boards, and he has worked extremely hard in the offseason to improve his skills and has got better. The line has not played as well as we would have liked him to, or as he would have liked himself to play. And he puts a lot of pressure on himself and I've tried to tell him that relaxing and not putting pressure, he's going to play better. And he has improved, you know, considerably over last year. His skills have, like I said, his perimeter skills have really shown. And he always was a good rebounder, but he does have a nose for the basketball, and he's going to go after ball, everything that possibly can be done. He's all in. And so he plays a complete game and never takes a playoff.
People in Jamestown know about this next guy, but I really believe Upper Cumberland needs to get familiar with this guy, and that's Nick Smith. He's really, really athletic guard in this system, and it seems like he does a little bit of everything when he's on the court. The first thing I'm going to ask you about is that little mid-range jump shot of his. How often does he practice that? Because it seems like he's got science now.
He really has that move and that natural ability to get inside the free throw line and that mid-range jump shot, you know, of 12, 14 feet, he's pretty much automatic with. And, of course, he's just a very skilled athlete, signing or committing to Missouri for baseball scholarship already, you know, is a testament to, you know, how good an athlete he is. And we had to rely on him a great deal, and he has had to the occasion. Now, he will tell you that he's not executed as well as he will when we got the lead. But and I think that will come. He's not had to play that role before, And so he's in a different role in that the guy that takes control in late game situations.
And then there's Riley Cooper. What do you think the strongest part of his game is? Because I know he plays more of a post, but he's really able to go out and do just a little bit of everything.
And he can. He's a complete player. He shoots the ball extremely well from the perimeter. Of course, we like him inside because he is strong post player that has extremely good post moves. And Riley is just now, you know, he just turned 17, so he is a very young senior. And so we have several colleges that are interested in him. I really believe he's just going to continue to improve because he is such a young player, and he has got such a great work ethic and attitude. And that's one of the things about this group of young men. Their attitudes, you know, have been, they bought into the system and that they don't care who scores as long as we can be successful on the court.
The nucleus is back. Can Upperman get back? Coach Bobby McWilliams.
Well, the energy is really high. I mean, they're just happy. They're happy to be there. They understand, you know, we've been through it. You know, our season was canceled last year, so we know that we just can appreciate one day at a time. And they've taken on that attitude. And you know, it's just been really enjoyable to watch them have fun and being in the gym again.
I have to ask, when everything was locked down back in March and April, did you ever expect that we would get to this point where we're preparing for a season and it looks like it's going to happen?
Well, we were hopeful. You know, we were hopeful. Of course, it took some time for us to get over, you know, losing the last part of our season, mm-hmm. the way it went down. But you know, we. There for about a 2-week period, you know, this team went through a lot. And, you know, I know everybody across the country went through, you know, COVID and COVID shutdowns and things of that nature. But when you're talking about just the sport itself, we, you know, we had the tornado and then, you know, a couple weeks later, we're just all of a sudden our season comes to an abrupt end. We just, you know, it took a while for our kids to kind of understand that and kind of absorb that. But, you know, we discussed it and talked about it numerous times. And they're at peace with it, I think. But, you know, still we have a little unfinished business that we would like to try to, you know, to finish up, at least give ourselves an opportunity to. And but, you know, we're just appreciative that we get an opportunity, even if it's just one day at a time, and that's kind of our approach right now.
Looking at this year's team, I know you've got to replace two key contributors on last year's team in Donovan McAllister and Philip Babich. A lot of people might look at that and go, well, you're only having to replace two players. A lot of teams have to replace more. But I know for you specifically, these guys were more than just two players.
Absolutely. You know, both of those two guys, you know, we Donovan was a starter for us as a sophomore. And Phil started last year. So really we lost, you know, two starters basically. We had six, we rotated in and out, but, they brought so much more that, you know, people just from the outside don't really realize. And, we're looking forward to, you know, what's ahead, but we will definitely miss what those two brought to the table. You know, you can't replace good players. You just have to kind of, you know, your team takes another identity a little bit. But we're definitely going to miss what they did last year. But we have some guys that, you know, that didn't get as much playing time last year who have really worked hard and are ready for the challenge. And you know, we're excited about where they're at and what they can do. And they're going to get an opportunity to, you know, to prove that their hard work has paid off for them. You know, our team identity will be a little bit different, obviously. But we do have some guys coming in that we feel like are ready to step in and lift their game and step up a little bit for us.
a lot of teams aren't blessed with the kind of size you guys had last year. And while you do lose Phillip, and that's a big loss, I feel like having a guy like Kaysen Grissom is something a lot of teams would kill for, having that kind of extra big man on the bench that if there's foul trouble, you can throw him in there and there's not much of a drop-off, if any at all. How much of a bigger role you see him having this year?
Absolutely. We're excited about where he's at. You know, he's matured a lot physically. You know, his basketball understanding has really developed a bunch. He was in a tough situation last year. He had to play spot minutes, on a really deep team. And you know, he's definitely going to be counted on to play, you know, quite a bit more this year. And we expect good things out of him. And he's really had a good offseason working. He spent a lot of time working at home, working on his own. And he's really developed as a player. And he sure has been impressive in his first 4 days of practice. So we're really excited about him. And then we've got Jackson Fox, who came in, who played quite a bit down the stretch for us last year. Jackson's really worked hard on his body, gotten a lot stronger physically. He's he's a lot better now than he was last year, but he's worked hard as well. So we're expecting big things out of him, and just pretty excited about what's coming on. Those guys have really improved in the off season. Just a year older, more mature has helped them a bunch.
You stole my next question there about Jackson, so I'll move on from there. He was someone we talked about a lot, especially near the end of last year, because he really put in some big minutes off the bench. How much of a challenge is that sixth man role? It seems like it fits him really well and that he's able to come off the bench, provide good energy, and warm up really quickly. But how much of a challenge is that sixth man role?
Well, you know, for some players, you know, it's easy. You can sit and watch and see what the flow of the game is, and when you get in, you can bring, you know, your ability and your talent into the game and change it, speed it up, slow it down, or just, you know, give an added dimension. And Jackson was able to do that last year off the bench, which was huge for us. So for us, our kids who are coming in, off the bench, they played a significant role, and we expect that this year. We've got another couple of kids. Cody Carter's back with us, and we expect a lot out of him. And then A.J. Nash is a sophomore who had a really good offseason, played a lot of AAU this past year, so we're expecting quite a bit out of him. And then we've got John Alexander and Rex Davis, who two are going to be, you know, fighting for playing time, and they offer something that maybe those other guys don't at times. So, right now we've got, you know, 10 solid returning guys from last year's team that, you know, they're going to have a significant role in what we do at some point in time. So, the bench to us is as important as the five guys that start. We just, got to figure out what that is and kind of get in there and get a little bit more comfortable and those kind of things. But we're excited about where we're at. We'll just have to see, you know, if we can put it together.
When I look at the core of this team, I look at your four major returners as well, and, you know, Jace, Isaiah, Alex, and Colin. And I have to say that when you look around the state, I'm not sure I see a team that has a deeper core than this team has and will have this year.
Well, you know, we do like what we have for sure. I can't really speak for teams that we don't know. But, you know, the teams in our area, I think we've got as much coming back as anybody. So we're really excited. Now, those kids are, you know, they've all played significant minutes now. This is their fourth year. Some of them will be four-year starters. The other ones are going to be four-year significant contributors. So that's, as a coach, is, you know, that's irreplaceable, that experience alone. But they're very talented, those four, and have proven that. But we're just excited. This senior class is a big class for us, and they've put a lot of time, effort, and energy in, and we're excited and hope we get an opportunity to play a full season. And that's kind of what we're working towards, and that's how we're taking it, just day by day, though. So, you know, like I said earlier, but speaking on those four, they've just really made a huge impact in our program, and I'm happy for them and the career they've had to this point.
The Stone Memorial Lady Panthers defeated Science Hill in the state quarterfinals last season. Then the tournament was cut short because of COVID. It took a while for that team to get over last year, and that includes the head coach, Mike Buck. But now, it's time to get back to basketball.
Yeah, I really am. You know, I've told people that, you know, last year was kind of – I'm still kind of in a daze, you know, moving forward to this year. You know, here recently, you know, once we got back on the court and it kind of got closer to this time of season, I was able to kind of put some closure behind me. But, yeah, it was tough. You know, that whole – you know, part of being a coach and being a leader is when it's finally over, whether it's the state championship and you actually win your last game or, you know, you lose your last game in tournament time. You know, there's a time there to close out the relationships, you know, not close the relationship, but close the player coach relationship with, you know, with your seniors and just with that group. And so we didn't really get a chance to do that last year. We won our last game, but it wasn't the last game that we were hoping for. So, but being able to, you know, as we've gotten closer to this time of year, it's been easier to put that behind us. But yeah, last year, I tell you, I was so, so proud of our girls and you know, what they were able to accomplish. And I really, you know, all four of the final four teams, I guess, could say that they, you know, felt good about, we know where they were and felt good about their chances to win the whole thing. But I tell you, I really, really felt great about, you know, having a chance to close out right last year, but it wasn't meant to be. So we're all good, ready to try and make another run this year.
Obviously, we'd be remiss not to mention who you'll be replacing. And while I know you're thankful you're only replacing a handful of players, obviously last year they were more than that for you.
They were. You know, two seniors, you know, from last year's group, and Chloe Rourke, and then, you know, Emma Capps. They both... Chloe was one of those kids that's going to be hard to replace because she was so versatile on the floor and so unselfish. She never had to score to create value for herself, which, again, I mean, talk about kids this day and age, it's hard to get people to sacrifice like that. And so she was willing to and really embraced that, and really brought, you know, a lot of good things to our team. And so replacing her is going to be hard, but, and then you think about Emma Capp. She's our all-time leading scorer up here. She was a four-year starter and just a four-year all-district player. Just a special talent that comes along, you know, that works really, really hard. And so replacing her, 18 points a game, about 7 rebounds a game is going to be tough. But what the part, I guess the toughest part to replace her with is just going to be her mentality. You know, she had worked so hard on her game and on her ability to shoot the basketball. That it bled into all the rest of our kids, meaning, you know, when it was a tough moment, we knew that if we got Emma a look, you know, it was a great chance she was going to make that for us. And then also, even just with the scouting report, I knew that if I put her in a certain spot on the floor, I knew how coaches would guard that. And so that kind of allowed me to open up some other things from other people. So now that's gone. You know, we'll have to make some adjustments. I've told some people that Emma actually made 94 threes last year alone. And so that was really, really good, really, you know, a great season. But we had 99 threes coming off the bench in two kids, two sophomore girls. And so, kind of neat to replace Emma's 94 with those 99. But the problem is that leaves a void on the bench now. We need to find somebody coming in off the bench to replace that. So. Yeah, those two girls were meant a whole lot to the program. Took us to, you know, along with all the girls, took us to a place where this program had never been before. So really thankful, really proud for those two.
When you look at the group you're bringing back, what's one thing that excites you the most about this group?
The veteran group, you know, we've got juniors and seniors. I guess just the experience and that they know. You know, before I was trying to sell them on something that they'd never really experienced. And so that made the challenge, you know, harder because, you know, we talked about breaking down that wall to get to Murfreesboro and we were able to do that. But now that wall has been broken, you know, so now it's, you know, we're talking, you know, trying to sell them again on something that they've already been to the state tournament. Now I'm trying to sell them on trying to, you know, get back and then hopefully try to win one, you know, which is, you know, obviously a incredibly difficult challenge, but I like the experience of this group, and they're focused and they're hungry still because they didn't get the chance to finish last year. So, I don't know. I guess that's probably the deal there. There's the experience level. I'm happy about a lot of things with them, though. You know, their pace, they're able to, you know, get up and down the floor and cover ground. They all can run. They all can, you know, jump. They're fast. You know, it's a group where I can, you know, hope to play some chess out there, you know, with some different things that I can do from an X and O standpoint now with the group that we've got. And so we've done that last couple of years, but this year's going to be a little bit different just with the pace. So I'm excited about that, too.